Welcome in to a Wednesday morning season's eve edition of Locked On Nets. There were two games last night. We don't know what happened because we are recording before those games, but I'm sure at least one of them was excellent. We are talking some opening day injuries for the Nets, why Brooklyn could be without as many as four rotation players in Detroit, and then we're getting into some early season takes. Finally, Richard Jefferson joining the Nets broadcast crew. All that and more next on the Locked On Nets podcast.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets micropod. I don't do this enough, so I'm going to remind you guys to subscribe, rate, review, share the podcast out if you can. I know that's technically our job, but we're kind of lazy at it, so we'd appreciate it if you guys do that, or at the very least, do the first three whenever you can. If you maybe really love a specific episode, like our bold predictions for the season that we put out yesterday, maybe share it out with your friends. It helps us. It'll give you some street cred. They'll be like, wow, that's a great Nets podcast. And I'm like, I don't know if I've ever bonded more with people than talking about podcasts we both love. And maybe that's an indictment on my ability to socialize, but we will move on either way. Anyways, I'm your host, Gavin Shaw. After 4 years covering the Phoenix Suns, I moved back to my native New York to join your Brooklyn Nets. And I am joined by Josh Bass, the financial wizard. Josh, you excited for the season? 24 hours away now.
Very excited for the season, Gavin. It's finally here. I can't tell if the offseason took a really long time or it felt like it went by in a couple weeks, but all I know is I'm happy that basketball season is here. I can actually stop pretending to care about the NFL, which is the nicest thing, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm genuinely excited for you. It feels like a lot happened this offseason. Like anytime like LeBron switches teams, it's such a massive story in and of itself. I genuinely do feel like this was one of the longer off seasons. Like the finals sort of feels like it was a while ago, and maybe that was just because it was so anticlimactic. It feels like forever since we've had real Nets games. Like that feels like a different lifetime to me. So I'm really
well. Real Nets games might be considered like pre KG and Pierce trade.
Right. Okay.
So it could be years ago.
All right, and now we're only like 2-3 years away from getting that back. So that's pretty exciting. Anyways, there are a couple of injuries worth knowing about. The biggest one, Damari Carroll, obviously one of the essential pieces to last season's Nets team, underwent ankle surgery today, and he is out for an indefinite amount of time, and that adds to a laundry list of injuries for Brooklyn. Allen Crabbe is going to miss game one with that sprained ankle he suffered against the Knicks in the preseason, and I think it was against the Knicks. Anyways, preseason ankle injury. And then, And then Shabazz Napier remains out, and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson with the injury he was dealing with all offseason, he is also out.
Rondae is actually he's still questionable. He hasn't been officially ruled out yet, but I would highly doubt that they rush him back.
Okay, Rondae is likely out with a groin strain that he suffered 2 months ago. All right, so It's a little bit of a deflating way to start the season because the big thing with this Brooklyn team that we've really been harping on is their increased depth this year. The fact that certainly among non-playoff teams, they have maybe the least holes in the rotation of anyone in that group. Like there's a solid NBA guy theoretically in every single spot up and down the roster. Now you're starting to push that a little bit because with both Carroll and Hollis-Jefferson out, we were just debating this yesterday, but someone like Rodions Karutz, we could see him playing against Detroit tomorrow.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, Gav, because I feel like the Nets can never have nice things. We kept touting this depth, and now we have four guys who are missing, especially two of the most important guys, looking at Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Damari Carroll, just from a standpoint where combo forwards are very valuable in this league, and the Nets don't have a ton of depth to replace them. They're going to be relying on Kurtz, who is a second-round rookie who hasn't played a lot of experienced ball. Jared Dudley, who's people can debate whether he's washed or not. but he's definitely not what he once was. And even maybe Kenneth Faried, who's pretty inconsistent also. And two of those three guys are going to need to play significant minutes, like we saw in the Knicks game. Kuritz played 12 minutes. Jerry Dudley started and played 28 minutes. And if Rondé and Damari can't go for an extended period of time, then those guys are going to have to continue to step up. And it just sucks because I really thought that, again, the Nets team doesn't have a ton of star-level players, if really any star-level players. So the depth was going to be the thing that would keep them in games. And without that depth, it's going to be tough for them to really go for that 8 seed if that's something they wanted to do.
Yeah, and obviously, we don't really know a definite timeline on Carroll, but all the other guys are expected to be back within the first couple games of the year, if not the first game for Hollis Jefferson. So it's not something that would necessarily flip their playoff chances one way or another, but it is, again, it is frustrating because you wait just such a long time to see this team together. You hear all the reports from practice. Everyone's getting better. Everyone's improving. And then it's just this slight little, like, uneasiness as you go into the game. And where it really concerns me,
especially also, Gavin, these are the Nets we're talking about. And this is a team that they say one thing about an injury. They say, listen, Jeremy Lin will be back in 6 weeks, and then it takes 2.5 months. So I think we have to take all these timetables with a grain of salt and also think that they could all easily be extended by 2 or 3 weeks.
That's definitely a possibility. I was just going to get into, I think where it really hurts them is defensively, and that was obviously, to some degree at least, the Nets' big focus this offseason, improving on that end of the floor. And I think you lose all the guys that give you a chance to, if not be special on that end of the floor, maybe be not terrible. Like Hollis Jefferson, Carroll, Crabb, all those guys they're your biggest perimeter players. Carroll and Hollis Jefferson especially, they have the best chance at really being switchable on that end and kind of causing havoc defensively. And you lose that element, and you still have a guy in Caris LeVert who's solid man-to-man, is a very good gambler. Jared Allen looks like he could be an improved shot blocker this year. You don't have Napier, who I think is going to end up being their best defensive guy at that point guard spot. I just think, especially against the Pistons team that's offensively limited, you had a chance to really, really smother them with your full group of guys. And obviously the Nets did a pretty solid job with them in that capacity in the preseason. But I just think it's kind of a missed opportunity to really start off on a strong note on that end of the floor and set the tone for the rest of the year.
Yep, I agree with most of what you said. Do you think that Napier is going to be better on defense than Dinwiddie?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I just remember, like, Napier in college defensively was just an absolute bulldog. And I know initially in the NBA he didn't live up to that reputation, but I thought last year in Portland when he came into games he was really, really good man-to-man. Obviously, if you could get a switch on him, he was in a lot of trouble just because he wasn't big, and that's where Dinwiddie's a lot better. And I think Dinwiddie could also be better this year just by the sheer fact that he's not going to have to carry the same load offensively and he'll have more energy at that end. But Dinwiddie was just so inconsistent defensively last year. Like, he had flashes of being really solid, and then he would just kind of take possessions off. So maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's it's a light take that I'm willing to push out there.
Yeah. No, I don't think Napier's a terrible defender, especially his on and off numbers will probably be were pretty good in Portland just because Lillard's not that great. And also Lillard was playing a lot of his minutes with Nurkic, who's a pretty bad defensive center. So the bench units are going to look better by comparison. I don't know. I'm pretty high on Dinwiddie on defense. I think he does his effort isn't amazing all the time, but he does a pretty good job of contesting, and his length really allows him to stay in a lot of plays. So I think he's, I'd say, average to above average for a point guard. So I'm surprised to hear you saying that, but I think your take does make sense.
Wow. Okay. That just means everything coming from you. All right. We'll take our first break, and we'll come back and we'll answer. We'll talk about some questions we have and what we want to see from the guys who remain healthy for the Nets in their opening game at Detroit tomorrow or today. See you. Is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors they hear on their podcasts. Our demographic is 98% male and more educated and earning more than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast? Email me at gavinshall14@gmail.com. That is gavinshall14@gmail.com. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's, which team should I bet on this week?
The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you do, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, they are the best bet you'll make this season. They've been in business for years, have great online reviews, and their mobile site is super easy to use. So you can lay down some cash and win today. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. My fantasy teams are excellent this season. I don't have to do that. Yours? Probably not as good, so I'd recommend getting on MyBookie and doing that immediately. Plus, if you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000. All you have to do is use my promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use my promo code with a capital L, LOCKEDON25, when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, so let's get into it. Josh, what are you looking for most in this first game of the season?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting not to see the minutes breakdown of the kind of three main perimeter guys in D'Lo, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Caris LeVert, because since the Nets are shorthanded, they're all three of them are going to get over 30 minutes for this game at least. I think I'm more curious to see how the playmaking and shot distribution matches up. I mean, who's going to be spending more time off the ball? Who's going to be running more pick and roll action and really driving the game on Nets offensive end? So I think it will be interesting to see how those three play together. Who's going to be the alpha dog when two of the three are on the court? So excited to see how that pans out, because I think that's going to be a big key to watch throughout the entire season and especially in those first few games.
Assuming Rondae Hollis-Jefferson doesn't play, what I'm really looking for is to see how the Nets decide to go about defending Blake Griffin. And obviously it's kind of a rarity in the NBA to play a team that features two bigs. And this is going to be one of the situations where you do. Obviously Detroit thinks Griffin especially is skilled enough to kind of survive despite nominally playing the game of more of a traditional power forward. And they bet really big on that last season, trading for his giant contract that not too many other teams in the NBA would have necessarily taken on. Certainly wouldn't have given up assets as good as Tobias Harris to take on. But for the Nets, it really does present a problem. Jared Allen did a really good job in the preseason game against the Pistons guarding Andre Drummond, but that's still a really tough matchup for him. And without Hollis Jefferson, you just don't really have someone who could logically slot into guard power forwards unless you really want to twist your rotation and put someone like Kenneth Faried in there, which you can do, but that really hurts you offensively, and it doesn't allow the Nets just from the get-go to play the offensive style they're looking to play. And then the flip side of that is you throw in someone like Jared Dudley or even Travion Graham, and you're just grossly undersized, and Griffin is just going to go off, and maybe offensively you get him back on the other end trading threes for twos. But I don't know how that pays off, so I'm really intrigued to see what Kenny Atkinson does there. And I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of adjustments he makes, because we didn't spend a lot of time on it this offseason, but that was one of our big complaints last year, that Kenny couldn't make enough adjustments in games. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yep, should be good. I think that definitely having both Damari and Rondé out is going to be a big weakness. I'm not sure how much Blake's going to post up, just because the lane will be crowded with Andre Drummond already in there, and I think he's definitely shifted his game to be more perimeter oriented each and every year, so I'm expecting that to continue with his first full offseason in the books with Detroit, but we shall see. And he'll definitely have a mismatch either way, because he is a super talented player and the Nets are missing a couple of their top and most versatile defenders.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm interested to see what Rodion Skarouts does. We spent all of last podcast, or at least a portion of it, debating whether or not he would be in the Nets rotation this season. It was something that I guess up to these injuries was kind of dependent on someone getting hurt, because they just have so much depth in those wing spots. And now there's a very clear opening there. He was obviously extremely impressive in the preseason. You have enough guys with Jared Dudley and Travion Graham and Joe Harris that I think if they really wanted to, they could literally go this game without playing him. But I have a feeling they trot him out for a few minutes, and I'm intrigued to see how he responds to real live NBA action.
Yep, same. I think he'll get a few minutes at least. And The Pistons aren't the worst matchup for him because they don't have a lot of scoring wings that are going to go at him. Guys like Stanley Johnson, Reggie Bullock, even looking at maybe a Langston Galloway, aren't guys that are really going to create their own shot. So I think he won't have too difficult of a time on the defensive end should he get the call from Coach Atkinson.
All right, Josh, anything I'm missing here? Anything else you're looking forward to, or you want to go on to a third segment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to Nets basketball, getting to hear our boys, the announcers again, Ian Eagle and the gang. It will be good to be back.
Yeah, no, certainly. And they'll actually have a new addition to that group, which we will get into next on Locked On Nets. Peak ticket season in New York is fast approaching, and we know that you want to be a part of it. The NFL is in full swing, the Yankees are getting ready for a playoff run, and hockey and basketball are just around the corner. And there's no better option to get a great deal on attending any of those events than Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats allows you to sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save you even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Then use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. That's LOCKEDON. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event.
All right, welcome back one last time on Locked On Nets. Gavin Shaw, Josh Bass with you from our studios in our respective apartments. Yeah, and we're really excited about Nets basketball, and there is a new addition to how we experience Nets basketball in Richard Jefferson, who announced his retirement last week, 17 seasons in the NBA. Great player, great personality. If you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend you go back and check out Road Tripping. I'm not sure, Tripping? Road Tripping, I think it is. I think they might be making new episodes, I'm not sure, but even if they aren't, and it seems dated, I would go back and listen to the first season because they were just like consistently having a buzzed LeBron on their podcast, which is something that no other NBA podcast can claim, because I'm always surprised by this, but it seems like he's not really close enough with any one journalist to ever do podcasts, so that's really cool, and they have a bunch of other great NBA guests. And Jefferson and Channing Frye, for my money, might be my two favorite comedy-oriented NBA players ever. They're both absolutely hilarious. They're great. And I think the transition from that to studio work could actually be pretty seamless for Jefferson because he clearly knows the game extremely well. What I'm really interested to see is if he's comfortable enough right off the bat to really show off his personality in a studio setting. That I think, Josh, have you watched the halftime shows in the past? Because I always skip through them. They've always been so sterile to me, and I've never really been interested. But with Jefferson, I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate the Nets halftime shows. I think that Chris Sheeran does a really good job, and it was a big part of my childhood going back to the days with Bob Lorenz. I think that at this point, it's like there's too much content out there. I mean, like I have these, like Bill Simmons puts out 20 hours of podcasts a week, him and his gang. So it's like, I feel like there's a deluge of stuff coming at me, and if I don't listen during half times of games and skipping the post game show to listen to like Chris Vernon and Kevin O'Connor, I feel like I'm missing out. So I don't watch the post game shows or the halftime shows, but that doesn't mean they're not good, in my opinion.
Right. No, that's definitely fair. I'm just saying, like, I think Jefferson could be a draw to get some people who weren't previously watching to now actually sit around and check it out and not pause it and do something else and come back and start the second half. And I am also interested to see how he does as a color analyst. Like sometimes I think ex-players are thrown into that role a little bit too quickly because it's not like even though, I mean, for some guys, it's very, very intuitive. Like you look at football, like someone like Tony Romo, like one offseason, couple of practice broadcasts, and he's like immediately like, far and away the best color analyst on any NFL broadcast. And then you look at like his former teammate in Jason Witten. I know I'm using football examples, but I can't think of a good basketball one right now. You look at someone like Jason Witten, who just like he's getting better, but he just seems like kind of wooden back there. And I expect with Jefferson's personality, he'll be good. But I just think it gets underrated how tough it is. And this is a guy who literally, like, I know he was pursuing media opportunities earlier in the summer, and we mentioned that. on the podcast, but this is a guy who literally decided to retire a week ago. Like, I wonder what that adjustment period is like. And I can't imagine he's going to be at like a Sarah Kustox level from day one, but I'm really excited about his upside in that role.
No one can get to a Sarah Kustox level. So if that's his bar to aspire to, then sure. he'll be lucky if he gets there. She's class act, A-plus broadcaster, in my opinion. I don't know. I think that there is a kind of a rush to put these guys into color roles. And I feel like we see it on players only. Like, the broadcasts where they're all players are just a complete disaster. Yeah. And there's so many of these guys either in studio shows or doing play-by-play nationally who just, like, don't know how to, like, really relate the game to the fans. I think of a guy like Reggie Miller who rushed into color, and he's just – I don't think he's ever gotten better. And it's not to say he's not charismatic. He just doesn't have a knack for it.
Yeah, I almost, like, tweeted something about it this weekend because I was watching one of the major network studio shows for – it was an NFL game. And, like, I don't mind, like, the ESPN one that much, but all the network ones just, like, really suck. And it's, like, always, like, the most generic content, and they're having, like, Bill Cowher do, like, teases and stuff. And this guy's been on TV for 7 years, but, like, it's legitimately, like, it's a skill. Like, not everyone is inherently good at it. And I'm always thinking, like, when are these guys going to, like, smarten up and put just, like, someone like Zach Lowe on, like, a halftime show? And maybe, like, Zach has, like, 20 different things going on. Like, maybe he doesn't want to do it. Or, like, for football, like, his equivalent, like, someone like Robert Mays. But just, like, these writers who are really, really smart, have a lot of media experience. And this isn't, like, a shot at all players. Like, some of them are, like, genuinely, like, great. Like, I mentioned Romo before. I like someone like Jalen Rose commenting on games. I like Chauncey Billups quite a bit, but I like when Steve Kerr used to do it, he was absolutely incredible at it. Like, he's my favorite NBA color analyst ever, I think. But there, I just like to see, like, some of these really, really intelligent writers who know the game, and maybe not quite as well as the players, but just a notch below. Like, I'd be intrigued to see them in those roles, and I don't think that happens enough.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I feel like the classic, like, CBS or Fox halftime or postgame show, they're, like, showing the highlights.
Yeah.
It's like Aaron Rodgers, like, Rodgers, how good is this guy? Like, we all know that.
It's so stupid. Yeah, there's no depth.
There's no analysis at all.
And I do wonder, like, not – I know we're going really far down this rabbit hole, but I think it's an interesting topic. I do wonder if it's different for football than basketball, just because I feel like the average fan in football is a little bit – less invested in the nuances of the game. Like, it's more of a general appeal sport. Like, everyone likes football, but I think more people love basketball than love football at this point. And I think that's reflected,
especially if you see it on Twitter. Like, the percentage of people that really know what they're talking about and how kind of nuanced the conversations are. I think that basketball has a ton of people that are really putting out good content, and fans are clamoring for that. I think that what's different is that, like I just said before, are these people really investing into a halftime show or post game, or do they want to listen to a podcast with Zach Lowe or a podcast with Andrew Sharp and Ben Golliver? I think that ESPN will do it if there's a demand for it, but I think at this point, some of these networks, it's more about content. Charles Barkley and Shaq will create that, like, viral moment,
yeah.
But no one's really, like, demanding for them to put on good content, so there's no urge for the networks to do it.
Right. And I guess, like ideally you'd have, like, a confluence of that. And that's kind of, I mean, again, like, this is way off topic, but that's kind of what you got with something like Grantland, where you had, like, that combination of, like, humor and, like, fun, like, crazy moments, but also, like, this really, like, deep cutting analysis. And I think someone like Lowe would be, like, really, really capable of that. Or even, like, a Kevin Arnovitz. Like, ESPN just has, like, this stockpile of brilliant NBA minds, and I don't know if they're putting them to full use by not, like, using them in a studio setting or something similar. And obviously they have Get Up, which gets to that a little bit, but I'd like to see it in games as well. All right, we've gone really far down this rabbit hole, so I will let you guys off the hook. We'll be back tomorrow talking about the first Nets game of the season. We did it, guys. We got through a whole giant offseason. Anyone who's also just stuck around until the end of this podcast, I probably should have said this at the beginning, but I really want to thank you for listening to us all off season. We know it's not quite the same as coming for game recaps, and you're relying a little bit more on mine and Josh's ingenuity to get you through the off season, which we all know is in limited supply. So once again, thanks for sticking with us. Basketball is back, and keep listening. Thanks.